God bless you. Thank you, Brother Chambers. Good to see you here this morning. It's been a great miracle that's happened. Some of y'all heard us preach yesterday and came back today. That's wonderful. Amen. I was looking here in the church, and my mind don't work like other people's minds work. It does work, though. We're not going to debate that. But I thought if this was a ship, it would be leaning to the left. So that's not good that Paul Creek Ministries would be leaning to the left, would it? But then all of a sudden I thought if I turned around, it'd be leaning to the right. So I guess I'm the one that needs to turn around. Y'all are all leaning. Are you a pastor here this morning? If you're a pastor, will you please stand up? If you're a pastor, please stand. I want everybody to know that I'm aiming at these guys first. And so I'm going to be preaching to these guys first. Does that give you a little bit of relief? Please remain standing. If you're a minister, would you please stand? If you're a minister. All right, I'm aiming at you second. And I just want to get that real clear, just right out in the open. That's who I'm shooting at this morning. All right, you may be seated. And I've got something I feel like the Lord has really laid on our heart, and I want to share it with us. Do I have any of the children going to help me this morning? I wonder if there's a young person here that'll pray and say, Lord, just let Brother Mayo preach 30 minutes. Any of y'all going to be praying, Lord, thank you, Garrett. I love honest people. Now listen, we need to build children's faith up, and if I only preach 15 minutes, that's not going to really build his faith. But if I'll preach a whole hour, and he only prayed for 30 minutes, I'll double his faith. That's good, isn't it? Is that all right, Garrett? Somebody look at somebody and say, I hope that preacher gets you this morning. You know you're thinking it already. You know you've already been thinking it. Just go ahead and look at somebody and say, I hope that preacher just gets you good. Let's go to the book of Revelations chapter 1 and Revelations chapter 5. I'm glad to be here. I've enjoyed this camp meeting. I have enjoyed this camp meeting. Something tried to come up to block my enjoyment of the camp meeting, and so I just turned my cell phone off. That's how much I said, I'm going to enjoy it. Amen. And anything that'll be there will be there after service. But I got to turn it back on to look at the time. So there we go. I've enjoyed the meals, enjoyed the hospitality, enjoyed the place to stay. So good to see friends. And I met some new friends. I met the Millers here. I've got some new friends here at Paul Creek. And I appreciate the way the Lord's moving. They've got six children. I want somebody here that's full of the Holy Ghost to agree with me that God is going to move and touch at least one of their children before this camp meeting's out. If you've got the Holy Ghost, will you just slip up a hand and agree with me with that? Amen. Can you just say, God even save one of them? Can somebody agree with me on that? All right, Brother and Sister Miller. Amen. We're agreeing on that. Now listen, it's your job to get them to church. Okay? Now, if we've already agreed on it, now this is just me. If I had six children and I wanted the Lord to touch one of them, I'd just go ahead and get them all here. And that way let the Lord pick out which ones he wants to touch. But that's just me. But it's up to y'all to get them to church. All right, I'm trusting that's going to happen. The book of Revelation is the first chapter. We're looking again, verse 4. If you'd like to stand, go ahead and stand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, Brother Gans, and who gave us peace. Amen. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to meet in your house without fear of consequence. I don't know how much longer we're going to have that privilege. Lord, while we do, Lord, we thank you, God, that we can worship you in the beauty of holiness, Lord, and you can move and just touch and help as you did in the service last night. And Lord, the teaching we received this morning, we thank you for it. We want to receive it. God, we ask you to help us, Lord, today. Move for us, Lord, today. Help, Lord, every heart to be open as good ground, Lord, receiving good seed, that your word could bring forth good fruits. And it's in all, Lord, for the honor and the glory goes to you in Christ Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. And hath made us kings and priests. It's interesting that as we look in Revelation, the fifth chapter, that they're singing that a new song that the Lord has given them. And they're singing, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. It's interesting there that they speak of it in a past tense, that thou hast made us kings and priests, and they speak of a future tense, and we shall reign on the earth. But John is still on the earth, and he's still in a mortal body. When he speaks in a past tense and hath made us kings and priests. Could I tell you something? God didn't save you to be a nobody. Righteousness exalteth a nation. You want to be blessed? Follow God. I have seen the children of alcoholics, amen, when that alcoholic would be saved. I've seen children of alcoholics make doctors, bankers, amen. And they would be the first people in their whole family that had ever finished high school. And then, have y'all ever seen that? Righteousness exalts a nation. And there are some in the holiness realm that thinks the dumber you are, the more holy you are. No, it just means you're wholly dumb. That's just all it means. But it's W-H-O-L-L. That's all it means. And they perpetuate this ignorance everywhere they go. Could I tell you something? God invented science. You really want to get intelligent, read the Bible. Amen. And study the Bible with your children. Amen. And when you call a fast, don't only do food and water, but sometimes I believe today's society, it's good to do an electronical fast. Kick Barney out of the house and you know, take the Power Rangers and kick them out too. And all of the other things that would war against a little child's innocent mind, and teach them perversion. And teach them the Bible. And watch and see if the grades go up. Amen. Little Johnny don't need Ritalin. Little Johnny sometimes needs a mom and a daddy. And mom and daddy need Jesus. Amen, Brother Mayo. I don't know where you're going, but it's starting off good. You see, God hath made us kings and priests. The two highest offices that a man could ever obtain in this natural world was a king or a priest. And God hath made us both of these. Amen. And God wants his people to be somebody. Amen. Please, I am not being judgmental. I'm not throwing stones, but I minister in many different churches, and due to the political stance we've made against homosexual marriage, there has been doors open to me in the Southern Baptist Church this last few months. It's incredible. Matter of fact, my strongest ally, Judge Roy Moore in Alabama, is a Southern Baptist man, and we got him to speak at a Church of God last Sunday, and it went viral. Amen. What could a man like that do with the Holy Ghost? Woo! And so I had some Baptist ministers that spoke to me, and they thought if I spoke that I was going to get them speaking tongues. I said, nope. I said, I got a tongue. It's English. I said, y'all probably won't even understand all that because it's Alabamanese sometimes. But one of them was very serious with me. He said, Brother Mayo, he said, I've read the Bible, and that was very good. I told him, I said, I commend you for that you read the Bible. He said, no, I'm being serious. He said, I've read the Bible, and I can see the point of the Holy Ghost. He said, but I don't believe that the Holy Ghost should ever speak in a church if there's not an interpreter. I said, well, you disagree with God. I said, but you're welcome to your opinion. He said, what do you mean I'm disagreeing with God? I said, there was a time when Belshazzar took the vessels out of the temple. And the reason he did that was he was spiritually illiterate. And I said, today in America, we're dealing with people who are spiritually illiterate. But God needed to educate him. So God gave him a lesson plan. But when God wrote on the wall, I said, there was no interpreter there. He said, go on. I said, but you know what they did? I said, he got in touch with his mother, and his mother said, get somebody full of the Holy Ghost to get us down here and tell us what's going on. I hope that don't offend you. But we're supposed to have the answers in a society that's filled with questions. Listen, beloved, and I speak this from with just all the love that I can muster up. If I didn't believe that we were right, I would be knocking on the doors of the Jehovah Witness instead of them coming to me. If I didn't think I was right, I would go out to Utah to the Mormon Tabernacle and I'd say, will you please instruct me? I want to be sure I'm right. But I got to studying this, and the Lord knows how to give you that assurance. And not only give you that assurance, but as a priest, you can also give it to others. And as a king, you can take the authority needed that you can be able to rule with Jesus Christ. How can I know that I'm right? If you don't know you're right, you're not right yet. I love what Brother Gans just said. He said, you've got to pray until you have peace. If you don't have peace, he said, you're not through praying. I love just simple truths like that. That's spoken from a priest. See, God's made him a priest. And God's given that knowledge to him to give to us. And so today, we need to make sure that we can be as kings and priests today. John's still on this earth when he said, and has made us kings and priests. The character of a king is his authority, his discernment, and his nobility. The functions of a king is his authority is shown because he is the supreme military leader in the land. His discernment is used because he is the supreme judge in the land. And we gave yesterday the illustration of 1 Kings 22, 29 through 36. You'll find in 1 Kings 3, 16 through 28, he is the supreme judge in the land. We also find the characteristics of his nobility because he is to have a court, and that court shows the royalty of his kingdom, and it's also where the ambassadors gather. You remember the Queen of Sheba came. And when she saw Solomon's court, she said, the half has not been told. The realm of a king, especially in biblical times, there was no universal written language in the earlier part of the Old Testament. So when a king was going to establish his kingdom, he would make a likeness of himself or a statue, and he would place that at the boundary of his kingdom. So everybody that was coming into his kingdom would know this is his ruling here. Now the first king that had conquered most of the known world, of course, was Nebuchadnezzar. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make an image that was 90 feet tall. He wanted to show that he was boss over everything. But could I tell you, the Lord decided to teach him a lesson, and he gave him a dream that troubled him. And he got to dreaming about a stone that was cut out without hands. And it smote the image on his feet. And it broke him to pieces. And to the place that it became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, and there was no place found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole wide world. Amen. I want to tell you something. Jesus is that stone that brought down all the earthly kingdoms of the world. But God has a kingdom on this world. And when Jesus began to preach and began to do miracles, he took up the doctrine of repentance that was taught by John the Baptist, but he was also proclaiming, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And the Lord wants to have some kings down here on this world today. In the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, he's speaking to his disciples in Matthew 11. And 11, and you're familiar with this, "Verily I say unto you, among them that were born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Jesus is here, is speaking of his kingdom. You've got to press your way into this kingdom. You've got to want to be in this kingdom. And in Matthew, the 28th chapter, he gives a commission as the king would give a commission. He says unto them, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of this world." As I got to studying this, all of a sudden it just came to me. God's kingdom is everywhere that this world is, because God made man in his own image. Sin deformed man, and so that man is no longer in the image of God, but is worshiping after the creature rather than the creator. But anybody that's truly saved, amen, has come back to the knowledge and the image of God. And could I tell you that right here at Paul Creek, it is a part of the kingdom of God. And there's some folks that can stand here and say, "I'm in the likeness of Jesus Christ." Amen. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, but the Lord's kingdom has always stood and will always stand. And we're made in that. Amen. We're in the likeness of God. And when we feel the Holy Ghost come by, all of a sudden, amen, Satan has to say, "Uh-oh, my kingdom ends right outside that door. I can jump on them when they get outside the door, but I have no authority here." We need to reestablish that, amen, that God can make us kings right here and right now. When we see this, we see the kings have both the ability to lead the military and the ability to judge. I'd like to blend these together today, if I can quickly. Help me with this scripture, someone. "He that is spiritual judgeth all things." So I'd like to show you that we need to be both kings in taking us out to the battle. We also need to be as kings in knowing who and what to battle. In the book of 1 John, the fourth chapter and the first verse, here the Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Amen. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Some of y'all followed this, but several months ago we were called before a judge, and because of our stand, and I thought that I was going to go to jail because I'd contacted David Gibbs with the Christian Law Association and told them that I was going to lead the ministers that was going to stand in the probate judge's door and not allow homosexual couples to come in and receive the homosexual license, because that is against the Constitution. So Dr. Gibbs said he would take our case. And how many Pentecostal preachers y'all think stood with me? Bunch of wimps. But praise God, there was some old-time Baptist that stood up. And one of them was Dr. Sid Nichols. Dr. Sid Nichols' wife died a couple years ago, and Dr. Nichols, he's just waiting to go to heaven. And I wish you could meet him, Brother Chambers. He's like you. He's one of them old soldiers of the cross. And he come, and he said, "Brother Mayo," he said, "I heard you got an appointment with the judge." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'd like to go in with you." And I'm like, "Wow." So I have to get called before the judge, and the judge is going to scare me. And the judge is telling me, and the judge says, "If you interfere with a judicial process in any way, you will lose your tax-exempt status." Now, as general overseer of the Manual Holiness Church, that don't just affect me. It don't just affect one state. It affects the entire conference. So I have to contact the conference and let them know, "Guys, y'all need to vote me out, or you need to pray through and decide you're going to stand with me. Because if I go down, the whole ship goes down." Y'all understand that? And so this judge is threatening me, and I'm preparing my statement to stay back to her. Dr. Sid Nichols stands up and says, "Judge, I have something to say." Said, "This ain't about tax-exempt status. This is about sin and sinners going to hell." And I tried that spirit, and the spirit of that Alabama Southern Baptist, it rang true. And I said, "Oh God, if it takes things like this to purify your church and bring us together, Lord, whatever it takes." Beloved, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. I want to say this so carefully, and I want to say this just right. But do you know there was a lot of Pentecostal folks that said they had the Holy Ghost, but they didn't have enough to stand up over anything? And I want to say this so carefully and just right. The problem with a lot of Pentecostal people is they hadn't made a stand in 40 years. So every time something comes up, they're just used to taking another step. Just whatever. We're going to please the world no matter what. Until they get to the place, it's either stand or fall. Oh, Lord, help us to try the spirits and realize that everybody's not against us. And help us also realize that we've got to take a stand for God. So we've got to discern these things. There are some people that don't have the Holy Ghost because they've never heard, really, the Holy Ghost preached. Can I tell y'all something? If I could get Brother Mike Switzer to go preach in some of the churches I've been in, they could have a Holy Ghost revival, but they've never heard preaching like that. How many of y'all would agree with me on that? There are some people that are just illiterate. God, help us to let our light shine right here in this world today. He that is spiritual judges all things and try the spirits. You see, Satan sometimes come to us in a subtle form, and sometimes Satan fights against us in a bold manner, but he's always determined, no matter what. And in the book of Ephesians, the Bible tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So when we look at this as kings here, and I'll get on priests later on maybe tomorrow, but as kings, we need to be able to take military authority, and we also need to take judgmental discernment authority, and we need to begin to try these things and say, "Lord, help us to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it." And also, could I say, it is so imperative that we do it successfully. We're not going to have another shot at this. Pastors, you are now living in a time you don't have services to spare. I've got a brother that's lost. And if I was to get him to come to one of you guys' churches. I want to make sure that you understand that might be the only shot we get at him to be saved. Guys, y'all understand what I'm saying? Guys, y'all really get that? And if you are not prayed up and you do not have a good spirit in your church, then there's going to be blood on your hands at the judgment, because God said, I set you to be a light. But that one Wednesday night when the deacon and you felt like arguing instead of preaching and praying, amen, he said, that's the Wednesday night I sent somebody by your church. I hope I'm making this plain. Am I saying that in a sanctified way? You see, now's the time that we're in such a battle, we've got to discern what's important to fight about. Amen. There used to be a time that the Pentecostal people had the luxury to argue over things such as sanctification. We used to could argue about a lot of minor things. We don't have that luxury anymore. We've got to be, amen, to the point that we're dead on every single time. And so we've got one weapon that we are to use in the book of Ephesians, as it speaks to us about the armor of God. But it tells us also, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's why I love the term Bible holiness. Because Bible holiness is, if it's in the Bible, preach it. If it's not in the Bible and it's just your conviction, don't preach it. If you want to tell somebody about your personal convictions, bless God, go to their house or invite them to your house and have a Bible study and sit down when it's not in a threatening manner, and you can talk it out, and with love you can pray for each other, but don't bring it up in church and drive somebody out so their children begin to think that's what church is all about. We don't have that luxury of the time anymore. Brother Chambers, I hope I'm not too bold in my preaching. Amen. It's interesting that our weapon is the Word of God. And could I tell you, this weapon is still effective. It is still powerful, but it's not being used properly. The writer of Hebrews says this about our weapon in Hebrews 4 and 12. For the Word of God is quick. That word literally means living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The Holy Ghost spoke to me last night, and I want to share this with the pastors. I ask you to stand. I'm going to preach to you guys first. Amen, but I'm also going to preach to the ministers, and I'm preaching to everybody. But I'm going to give you 4 points that the Holy Ghost dealt with me last night, and I'm going to share it with the pastors. I'm aiming to you guys first. Amen. Amen. The Word of God divides even the soul and the spirit. We are in today a spiritual warfare unlike any that we have ever been in before. I told you yesterday, in my heart and my soul, I long for a spiritual leader to arise that I can follow. But there's been times when nobody else was there for me to follow. I had to encourage myself in the Lord. Can I get a pastor to say amen? Does any other pastor understand what I'm saying on that? There's been times when there's things come up. Amen. I just had to get a hold of God and get a hold of God and get a hold of God. Amen. But the first spirit I want to deal with, if you want to write these down, there's 4 spirits that the Holy Ghost dealt with me last night and told me to share with you that you all are going to be facing in your churches. Amen. 4 spirits. Amen. If you want to write this down, point number 1 is found in 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter. I'll begin reading in verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Amen. There is going to be an invasion in some of your churches of a spirit of fear. It's going to be a man-fearing spirit. Amen. It's going to be a fearful of the things that are coming to pass. You know what people's going to do? They're going to look around at the things that are coming to pass. But Jesus said, when you begin to see these things come to pass, look up and lift up your head. Amen. Men's hearts failing him for fear. Amen. Brother Mayo, why can't we go to the street corners and preach anymore? Because there's a spirit of fear that has come down and got a hold of people and it's gripped them. Amen. Why can't we live like we used to live? There's a spirit of fear that's got a hold of folks. Listen, beloved, amen, if ever there is a time that we need to rebuke this spirit, we need to kick that spirit out of the church and ask the Holy Spirit of God to come in. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul wrote this in a maritime prison, in a cellar cell, when his only light was a tiny window that was at street level. He was writing this as he looked out. History says that the way that they did psychological warfare then, they'd take a condemned prisoner and put him in a cell, and the only view that he had was of the chop block outside. My, he's writing this in the very shadow of his own martyrdom, but he yet says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. He doesn't say, I'm not fighting a spirit of fear, but he discerns that it's not a God. And immediately he evicts that spirit from his cell and said, God's not gave me that spirit. God's gave me the spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. God help us to arise above, amen, that spirit, take authority over it, and once more arise like a church triumphant, arise like the bride of Christ and say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm his bride, I'm part of his church, I belong to him, and all things work together to the good of them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Bluntly, either you believe in the sovereignty of God or you don't. And when you believe in the sovereignty of God and you're in the middle of God's will, you are immortal until God gets through with you. I am God's. I'm my beloved's. And he is mine. And his banner over me is love. Amen. If you would like to go with us to the book of Luke. Luke, the 13th chapter. The second spirit that will be invading our churches. Luke 13 and verse 11. I'm preaching this morning extemporaneously, by the way. The Lord just gave me this last night. But he gave me as a warning to the pastors. So, please pray for me in this delivery. Luke 13 and 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a, somebody say that, those next three words, which had a spirit of infirmity. My niece, who I love dearly, just received her doctorate in pharmacology, and she is now in her own practice as a pharmacist. She told me something that just absolutely bothered me. She said, Uncle Jeff, she said, the fastest growing industry right now in the United States is the pharmaceutical industry. I said, oh, really? She said, yes, and she said the pharmaceutical industry does not treat the cause, they treat the symptoms. Absolutely. Now, I said, okay, I said, now let's make sure we're on the same level here. I said, Goodyear could make a better tire, but if Goodyear made a better tire, Goodyear could put itself out of business because it wouldn't sell as many tires. She said, exactly. I said, across the board in pharmaceuticals, I said, let's look at America when I was a boy, 1 in 20 were diabetic. Now 1 in 8 are diabetic. I said, when I was a boy, you know, it's heart trouble, things like this. I said, so let's look across the realm. And you tell me where the tremendous explosion of pharmaceuticals is at. Her answer to me was not shocking, but it was revealing. Anybody want to guess? Nerve pills. I said, really? She said, yes. I said, so explain to me how this happens. She said, well, when children are put on Ritalin, and she began to take it up. And I said, so let's look at the demographics of nerve medicine. I said, in the demographics here, are we looking at itinerant people? She said, no. Itinerant people, they get their relief on the street. Let me put it bluntly. They smoke crack. Y'all get that? I said, okay, give me the demographics. She said, it's usually middle class people who are respectable and are church going. Do I have y'all's pastors? Do I have the pastor's attention? Do I have the pastor's attention? We have been invaded by a spirit of infirmity. I am not calling anyone a hypochondriac. Now, as for me myself, I don't necessarily take pills. I take faith tablets. So, y'all just, that went over some of y'all's heads. Y'all get it tomorrow. I'm not against doctors, and I'm not against pharmacists. But I do need to be able to recognize a spirit in a spiritual warfare. And where we have dumbed down the government schools, we have also dumbed down the churches. When we begin to dumb down the schools, now American children rank 28th in science, 27th in math, but number one in self-esteem. That means we got a bunch of dummies, but they really feel good about it. And in the church, I'm sorry to say this, but the American church doesn't rank up there real high anymore. If you would go with me to another country, you would see how people are hungry and thirsty for God. But in America, they look at me and they say, either entertain me or I'll take my tithe elsewhere. And so we've dumbed down the church to a point of entertainment, but we have to make them feel good about themselves. And so we sing to them when they come to church, and then when they feel bad because we have no power to pray for them, they have to go, and some of these nerve pills are nothing more than psychosomatic. It just kind of makes you, it releases the endorphin, you just feel better for a moment or two. Oh, Lord, help me here. We've got to understand that God wants your body to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. How many homeowners do we have in here? Just slip up a hand if you're a homeowner. How many homeowners know you have to do maintenance on a home on a regular basis? We need to have a revival. We come up to the altar one more time and say, God, would you do maintenance on my temple? Could I put it bluntly? Start at the top of my head and go through to the sole of my foot. And Lord, help me to realize that I understand some things are hereditary. Some things are genetic. Lord, I understand that. But Lord, I also understand that when you revealed yourself to Moses, as soon as you revealed yourself as Yahweh, amen, you next revealed yourself as Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. And let us understand, there's still a God in heaven, and he's looking for a king on this earth. He's looking for somebody to stand and say, I'm a statue of the living God. And whether soever I stand, there is the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. I'm nothing in my flesh, but wherever I take that gospel, that's where the kingdom of heaven is, because God has given to me the authority to stand and say, that's my man, and where he is, that's my realm. And I have the authority to come against spirits of infirmity that'll try to come against my people and your people, my church and your church, the United Bride of Christ. God, help us to stand once more and teach and preach the total atonement, who forgiveth thee of all thy iniquities, who healeth thee of all thy diseases. By his stripes ye are healed. Help us once more to look at people, if we have to say, silver and gold have I none. Let us also be able to say, such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus. Brother Mike Switzer's better half come in this morning. Sister Tanya had a grandpa I only got to see, I never got to meet. But I met a gentleman by the name of Brother Craig who drove coal trucks. And I love Pentecostal history. I found out he was Pentecostal from Eastern Kentucky. And I asked him about the flight of the dove. He said, Brother Mayo, he said, I moved from Kentucky to a little place in Virginia called Abington. I said, oh, I said, well, there was a great move of God there. He said, yes. Sister Tanya, correct me after service, but he mentioned a revival, and I may get this wrong. But he said it happened at a little place called Swords Creek. Have you ever heard of that? You've heard of Swords Creek. Well, let me tell you what he said. He said there was a coal miner by the name of Grant Horton. And I said, oh, let me tell you what he said. He said Grant Horton preached between 3,000 and 5,000 funerals. Now, I'm not positive, but I'm 99% sure that's your grandpa. He said that Grant Horton worked in the coal mines 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours, would come out, go to a creek, wash off, go preach a funeral, go get a bite to eat, and go preach. And he said that he was in a place called Swords Creek and had a revival. I'm saying what he said, for 13 months. I said, so what kept people coming for 13 months? He said, oh, simple. He said it was healing. Sister Tanya, have you ever heard that story in your family? I'm not preaching to you something that is impossible or unobtainable. I'm preaching to you something that is real and relevant, but is not replaceable. I'm preaching to you something that is needful, needful, needful. And today, we have got people coming in our churches who have had a spirit of infirmity. I was pastoring years ago in a church in Luverne, Alabama. There was a young man that got saved. He owned a body shop. It was a tremendous blessing to the church. And every time Wednesday night rolled around, he'd get a migraine headache. Then on Saturday night, he'd get a migraine headache. The headache would leave him every Monday morning and every Thursday morning. He went to a doctor. The doctor said, in the body shop business, he said, you're painting, you got to quit painting. He quit painting, hired a painter. Every Saturday night, he'd get a migraine headache. It'd leave him on Monday morning. I put up with that for a couple of months, and I started praying, and I got a hold of God. And God showed me there is a spirit of infirmity. I went to him, and I said, me and you are going to break this. We got to fasting and got to praying. He come to church and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And one Sunday afternoon, about 2 weeks later, that migraine headache hit him. He called me and said, I guess I'm going home. I said, no. I said, let's go to church. He come into church. He was hurting so bad, he threw up. He come into church. He sat down. The music was got a little loud. It put him in agony. But the Holy Ghost began to minister. As the Holy Ghost began to minister, he began to shout. He told me later on, said, Brother Jeff, I don't know when the Lord touched me. I just know it's left, and it's never come back again. I'm painting cars again. Beloved, I'm talking to something that's real. Pastors, you will be attacked by a spirit of fear in your church. Pastors, you will be attacked by a spirit of infirmity in your church. Brother Chambers brought out an excellent point that when the Holy Ghost moves, angels move. Could I tell you that anything God has, Satan has a counterfeit? Anytime the Holy Ghost doesn't move, more spirits move. If you will please go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Pastors, point number 3. The first 3 points I'm specifically dealing with pastors this morning. Hold on, we'll get to point 4. It'll get us all. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Brother Chambers, could I ask you, if you wouldn't mind, to stand and read verse 10, 11, and 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, 11, and 12.
First Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10. Nor thieves, no, I'm sorry. My Bible got turned while I was moving. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of this world, of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are given to us of God.
Thank you. I want to call your attention to verse 12. Please, pastors, give me your attention just for a minute. I'm speaking to you not only from my heart, but what the Holy Ghost laid on my heart. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. We are fighting a battle today in that we are no longer fighting a battle that we have the light and the world is dark. But we are fighting a battle today that the world has embraced darkness as light. We're not fighting against what they don't know. We're fighting that they have established lies to be a truth. We would have to have a revival of deliverance so that they could unlearn the things that they have learned that are false. Can I bring that down to the American level? Today is July the 1st. On July the 4th, in the city of New York City, there's going to be a large group of people that get together and burn the American flag. They're going to raise another flag, and instead of it being red, white, and blue, it's going to be blue with white stripes, but all the stripes are going to be rainbow colored. And they're going to say that we need to remove the American flag because the American flag stands for bigotry. And they've got a campaign going over, and it says, all bigotry, even under the guise of religious freedoms, is still bigotry. You see, It's not that they've never heard the truth. But when they have heard the truth and then they're told that that's a lie, and then they're told a lie and they're told that that's a truth, that is the spirit of this world. And the spirit of this world blocks the spirit of God. That's why it's impossible for a homosexual to be saved and still be a homosexual. For homosexuality is a living sin. The only way they can be saved is they have to admit it's wrong and repent. How do you repent of something you're not sorry of? You see, fornication is an event. You repent of the event, you don't do it anymore, you're saved. But a lifestyle must be changed. But when they're taught God made us this way, it blocks the Spirit of God. Is everybody understanding what I'm saying? This Spirit is going to come into your church. And there's only one defense against this Spirit. This defense is, if I could use the word orthodox, this defense is ancient. This defense is powerful. Brother Chambers, if you wouldn't mind, go to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1. For we have received not the spirit of the world. You see, the spirit of the world, what I'm fixing to say, please do not lay this on Brother Chambers. This is on me. You may disagree with me. But let me tell you when the spirit of the world first started invading our churches. It was when we had a love of money invade our churches. Please, I hope this doesn't offend you, but please let me speak as the Lord has given this to me. I saw a famine in the Pentecostal churches when I saw mothers put their children in daycare and go to the workforce. Do not lay that on Brother Chambers' charge. I take full responsibility for that statement. I'm telling you what I've seen in my almost 30 years of ministry. There was a time when mommies and daddies were mommies and daddies. And there was a clear, distinct role. Brother Mayo, you don't understand the economic hardships we're facing. Could I tell you something and just be as gentle as I can? I don't understand why y'all both have to drive new cars. And put your child in a government school. And let your child be indoctrinated. And then come to me when your child is looking at a transgender confusion and say, Brother Jeff, you got to get a hold of God. I'm going to tell you something. I've already been a hold of God. And in His Word, He still wants a mommy and He still wants a daddy. Pastors, there's going to come a time you're going to have to stand and you're going to have to say the family needs to be the family one more time. And husbands, if you have to drive a 15-year-old truck that's got 150,000 miles on it so that your wife can have a nice car, then bless God, you drive a truck. And if you can't do without your toys, you have to have your video games and you have to have your jet skis and things like that. It's time for you to grow up and be a man and go work 15 extra hours overtime and let your wife stay home and be a mother. I'll give y'all just a moment to shout. Women, if y'all can't shout over that, y'all are dead. Brother Chambers, I can't even get the ladies to agree with me. It really bothers me. Wait a minute, I'm over it now. I'm going to get back to preaching. That wasn't a tinge of conscience either. That just... Beloved, we don't need to love this world. Did you know that when I first began to preach, there were some older preachers that used to preach love not this world, neither the things that are in this world. And they'd tell you put Jesus first. And you know what they taught people? They taught people that if Jesus is in the family, what a happy home. And there was men and women that lived and made do and had a good time. Amen. And their families were saved. Come on now, church.
Hallelujah.
The spirit of the world is invading the churches.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
What defense do we have, Brother Mayo? Brother Chambers, would you please stand and read Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4.
And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name.
Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
When the spirit of the world invades the church, we've got one remedy. And that one remedy that we have is the spirit of holiness. Holiness is a lifestyle that pleases God. Years ago in Alabama, in every single church of God you went into in Alabama, the church teachings was on the wall. Does anybody remember what number 7 said? We believe holiness to be the lifestyle of God's children. That used to be visible. In the state of Alabama on the Bessemer-Inslee Highway, on Highway 11, Bessemer, Alabama, was a Church of God campgrounds. And when you walked in the campgrounds, there was a huge sign on the back of the church. And it said, holiness unto the Lord. There was a gentleman who came to preach the camp meeting. His name was Brother Ray Hughes. Brother Ray Hughes was very gifted in homiletics and hermeneutics both. Brother Ray Hughes, I met about 4 men that quoted the Bible excellently. Brother Hughes is one of those men. When the Holy Ghost would hit him, he could quote almost the entire Bible and not miss it. Did you ever hear him preach? Am I telling that right? Did you ever hear him, the Holy Ghost hit him and just get to doing scriptures just like that?
I don't remember exactly like that, but close to that.
Brother Ray Hughes was ministering. This was in the 70s. And they had a group of people called Jesus Freaks. Probably none of y'all heard of those. They were the hippies. They didn't fit in Alabama. They were from California. But one of them wanted to make a bus tour. And so coming through, they decided that they want to try a religious experience. Somebody said, if you want a religious experience, said they're having campground. They're having camp meeting in Alabama. Okay, we'll have a religious experience. These guys and these gals were stoned out of their head. And they come into that camp meeting. And the Holy Ghost got to moving. And some of them folks got under some conviction. And they started pulling things off and doing things like that. And nobody was even preaching. Brother Ray was preaching about the glory of God. How many of y'all like that to see that one more time? How many of y'all like to see the spirit of holiness get on people? Brother Mayo, as a pastor, you don't understand. As a pastor, I have to beat it in their heads. I beg to differ. If we could let the Holy Ghost get it in their hearts, it'll come from their head to their foot. Amen. The spirit of the world has tried to invade our church. But God is looking for somebody to stand and say, God's looking to somebody right here in North Carolina to say, wherever they are, that's my image. And that shows I've got a kingdom in North Carolina. All right, if nobody from North Carolina wants to stand, amen. God's wanting somebody from Georgia to stand and say, wherever they're standing in Georgia. Well, nobody from Georgia wants to stand. All right, I'll do it myself. God's looking for somebody from Alabama to stand and say, wherever they stand, that'll be my image. That's where the kingdom of God is. I'll stand up. Amen. Could I tell you something? God's looking for somebody to be a king and have his spirit. Amen. And you look at them and say, this is not a dogmatic, harsh gospel, but there's a spirit that goes with this. that brings a deliverance. There's a spirit that goes with this, that drives away fear. There's a spirit that goes with this, that rebukes infirmity. There's healing, and there's thrilling. There's glory, and there's joy, and the fruit of the Spirit. It goes with this. It unites with this. God's looking for somebody to say in Florida. God's looking for somebody in Virginia. God's looking for somebody to say wherever they are, that's the realm of my kingdom. I'm going to tell you something. By nature, I'm hard-headed. If you tell me not to do it, I want to do it so bad. I'm the only guy in here like that. I know that. Obama said he's going to ban G28 ammunition. I wanted it so bad I couldn't stand it. That guy at the gun shop told me, said, "Preacher," said, "you know I got to charge you for this." I said, "I know it," but when he said I couldn't have it, I said, "I just had to have some." If you told me, I'm telling you by my own nature, if you told me I had to do this, this, and this, and this, I'd question it. That's my nature. But let me tell you something. When I got saved, I got God's nature. Nobody had to stand and say, "Jeff, you do this, this, and this, and this." In my heart, I wanted to please God. God began to give me the spirit of holiness. You know what the spirit of holiness is? It is not the spirit of the world. But let me tell you something about the spirit of holiness. When I'd begin to read my Bible, God would begin to show me revelations and show me truths. And it brought a joy to my heart and a joy to my soul. I still remember the time I got saved. And my buddy said, "Come on, Jeff." They said, "Well, let's go down here to the movie theater." I walked to the movie theater. We was all going in. I walked up fixing to get my ticket. And as I reached to get my ticket, the Holy Ghost literally stepped back. And when it stepped back, I said, "Hold up, guys, I can't go in there." They said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I just can't go in there." They said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I really can't explain it all, but I just can't go in there." Amen. Well, I'd been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost for a couple of years. April and I had been married. I'd already pastored before I got married. We'd been married maybe 2 years. So I'd been saved and preaching even for 5 or 6 years. April and I went out one Friday night. There was no place to eat. We looked around for a place to eat. We was in a different town. And there was a Pizza Hut that was open. I'm not preaching to you. I'm telling about me, okay? And I went to that Pizza Hut on a Friday night. And I opened the door. And this Pizza Hut, the way it was lined up, there was a bar right there up front that's playing rock and roll music. Seemed like there was a beer pitcher on every table that big. Seemed like every person in the place was dancing. I opened up, told her to go in. She just kind of looked at me funny. I stepped up and I felt the Holy Ghost kind of step back. I looked at her and she looked at me and I said, "We're not welcome in here." And she said, "No." I said, "We'll have to go to McDonald's." Amen. I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm going to tell you something about me. God put a spirit of holiness in here and I don't love this world anymore. I'm going to tell you something. I love the things of God. I crave the things of God. We've got to teach our people there's a spiritual battle, but there is a spiritual victory. And when you love God the way you're supposed to love God, you can go from mountaintop to mountaintop. You can walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. And as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And when you're a son of God, the promises of God are yours. The fruit of the Spirit is yours. And the signs are yours. And they'll follow them that believe. I'm closing. I would now like to give you what the Lord gave me for the last thing. I'd like for everybody to please turn to Isaiah 61. This is not just for pastors. It's not just for ministers. This is for everyone. Isaiah chapter 61. The characteristics of a king, as you're turning there, authority, discernment, royalty. We've tried to blend the discernment and authority together today. And there is a spirit that's not only going to invade our churches, but it's going to invade the entire holiness movement. It's going to be a spirit that's going to attack us unlike anything we've ever had. Isaiah chapter 61. Please read verse 1 and 2, but for time's sake, I'm going to get right to verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Somewhere between the body and the soul, there's a spirit. I know that physical infirmities can affect you mentally. I know you can normally be a cheerful person, yet if you have diabetes and your sugar goes up or down, it can affect your moods. I know that. I know there's such a thing as a chemical imbalance in your thyroid gland that can give you mood swings. I'm aware of that. But there is a spirit that is going to attack each and every person. And if you want a worldly definition, or a worldly diagnosis would be clinical depression. Many of you might not have heard of this before, but some of you have. It's real. It will affect you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. I hope none of you have ever faced this, and I hope some of you don't, but I'm just telling you what the Lord dealt with me. It's coming. It's coming. And I'm going to tell you something. You better take it, and you better evict it, or it will ruin your family. This spirit can come upon a woman in a Pentecostal church when her husband does not give her proper attention. Am I being too blunt? You see, there's something about Pentecostal women that they always stick out from the world. And you let a Pentecostal woman go to town, and her husband be in the car with her, and her husband look at every other woman and never pay attention to his wife. He has opened the door for a spirit of heaviness. And that spirit of heaviness will go back and bring a spirit of fornication, a spirit of adultery. Brother Mayo, you don't know what you're talking about. I wish I didn't. But I've been a pastor, a district pastor. I've been a state overseer. I've been a general overseer. I've had to go to the pastors and remove their license and say, you're no longer allowed to preach. I found out you committed fornication. I found out you committed adultery. Then, Brother Joy, I begin to ask, where and why? And it wasn't just a blunder. It was a spiritual warfare where somebody wasn't armed. And I also begin to see there were some people in the church that because iniquity did abound, their love began to wax cold. And I begin to ask, why don't you sing the songs of Zion? People that had talent and anointing, why don't you sing the songs of Zion? And they'd begin to tell me, I don't feel like it. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? I understand, sir, and I understand, ma'am, that there are mental battles. I understand that there are physical battles. But I'm preaching to us today, there's also spiritual battles that can be camouflaged as mental or physical. And I believe that when we can get to the root core and deal with the spirit, that within the spirit itself, It can bring healing to both mental and physical beings. And as I look at this spirit of heaviness, it begins to come to the church. This spirit of heaviness is brought on because of frustration. This spirit of heaviness is brought on because of helplessness. This spirit of heaviness, amen, one of its main symptoms is hopelessness. But could I tell you, there is within you something that is the answer. And if I would ask you today to look into your own hearts and see if the blood of Jesus is over your heart, if you could look in your own self and begin to stir up something within yourself, if you could look and say, I am a child of the living God, amen, could I tell you that that is called salvation? If I could get you to go back one more time to the old rugged cross and see that there is a remedy for all that would ever face this, then you could go and you'll find at the foot of the cross, there is water there. It's an old, old well. And with joy shall you draw waters out of the well of salvation. And once again, you can say, He saved my body. He saved my soul. He touched my mind. Amen. Your spirit begins to rise. And the Bible said, until the day star shall arise with healing in His wings, there's still a remedy for this opposing spirit. Amen. I was talking to you right now, my friend. You come to this camp meeting heavy hearted. You put on an act. You put on a charade. You smiled, but on the inside you've been fighting hell. I want to tell you something. I serve notice on hell. God's image is here. Somebody's here full of the Holy Ghost. This is where God's kingdom starts. He has no business here. The spirits have no rights here. We stand against that. We take authority over that in the name of Jesus. And now, as the day star begins to arise, there is a joy as the bride looks for the bridegroom.
You must listen, saith the Lord. I am the spirit of deliverance. By me every spirit the enemy has wrought upon this world is broken. My power is sufficient for every battle you face, every enemy you face, every spirit you face. Stand in the power of my blood and the strength of my word and the anointing of my Holy Ghost, and thou art free.
I'm fixing to close. I'm going to tell you something. We're living in an age of things and stuff. We've got better churches. We've got nicer cars. We've got more things and stuff. And yet we've got defeated Pentecostal people. This world did not satisfy us because we came out of the world to be saved, my beloved. And more things of this world will not satisfy us. If once more we'll go back to the things of God. Oh God, I feel led to do this. I wish a husband would take a wife's hand and stand up right now. Somewhere in this church, I wish a husband would take a wife's hand and say, we're going to walk in victory. I wish a husband would take a wife's hand and say, we're going to walk in victory. Amen. Amen. I said, I wish a husband would take a wife's hand and say, we're going to walk in victory. I said, we're going to walk in victory. We're going to walk in victory. I wish the pastor right now would lift up his hand and say, my church, amen, will not harbor those spirits. I wish a pastor right now would stand up and say, my church will not harbor those spirits. I wish a pastor right now would say, my church will not harbor those spirits. I wish a saint of God right now say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I wish a saint of God would say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. May the saint of God say with authority, the joy of the Lord is my strength. May a saint of God arise right now and say, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. I have victory in my spirit. I have victory in my mind. I have joy in my heart. I have glory in my soul. I I'm a child of the living God. I'm blood-bought. I'm the bride of Christ. I'm part of the glorious church. I stand in victory.
Everybody standing, please. Everybody standing. Hallelujah. Raising your hand and claiming this victory over these evil spirits that come like a storm. Don't you think they're little, and don't you think they're light, and don't you think they're powerless? They're mighty to destroy. Hallelujah. Everywhere you look. Oh, God, help us to understand this. God, help us to understand this. Hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus breaks every one of them. Hallelujah. The power of the word of God is mighty to deliver. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost takes everything the blood is, everything the word is, and adds supernatural anointing. Hallelujah. And does the job. Anybody believe that? Throw your hand up and claim it in the name of Jesus. Praise God, Brother Mayo. Hallelujah. 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 I claim my little wife's not here with me to stand with me this morning, but we claim victory over every one of those.